We're starting, or we've started a teaching on why I love my church. In the body of Christ, I'm talking about in American church, there's, I believe, this casualness about church. Like, oh yeah, I go to that church. But statistics say the average Christian in America goes to church once a month. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews to not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And it tells us in Hebrews as the day approaches. And so how many know the day is approaching us? How many believe that we're close to the end? And if you don't believe that, I can we get an agreement? How many know we're a day closer than we were yesterday? We can say that for sure, right? But I believe there's search situations. There's the Bible says that we don't know the hour of the day, but Jesus said we are to know the season. He said even the farmers understand when it's going to rain. How is it that you don't know? And we are expected to know. And I believe very clearly that if you're living in America, if you're seeing what's taking place in America, you can see very clearly that things are changing. And that I believe this is a setup for the second coming of Christ. I fully believe that. And I believe that one of the things that Satan has done to hinder us is to get us in a mentality that just says, hey, yeah, I'm going this week. Oh, no, I'm not going this week because I got, you know what, I got to make brownies, or I got, you know what, I'm going to the mall, or I'm going to the swap meet, or all these things that, listen, how many know where I'm going to be Wednesday? How many know where I'm going to be Wednesday? How many know where I'm going to be next week? How many know where I'm going to be the week after that? This, because I see it for the value, and I recognize, and I started to recognize, you've got to teach people, because people don't recognize how important church is. They haven't been taught. Matter of fact, the secular world is creeping into the church and teaching us that it's not really that important. It's okay, but it's not really that important. I think church is extremely important. So we're gone over these things, and I'm going to go over just one today, but let's do some review. So why do I love church? Why do I love church? Guys in the back, let's go over all the points. Number one, I love church because it tells me what I need to hear. Have you ever come to church and you need something? And you're like, oh, I needed that. That's helpful. Come on, anybody. Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, absolutely. I'm sitting here and so, well, where do you get that? How many know you ain't going to get that at 7-Eleven drinking your Slurpee? You know what I mean? No, you get that at church. At church. Number two, it provides sanctuary. Everybody say sanctuary. Okay. Now say sanctuary like tranquil. Sanctuary. Okay. Now, it's starting to get hot already. You know what? We had some rain this morning, cooled us off a little bit. But how many know, you come in here, and how many enjoy the coolness of our sanctuary? But more important than just the atmosphere change, how many know there's a spiritual change? How many ever had a hard week? You know, critical bosses and critical, and your family's going nuts, and it's like, and all this stuff. And you come into church, and you know what it is? It's a sanctuary. We're very purposeful. You know what? We've been praying for you. You know what? We've been believing for you. We're believing that God will make the crooked path straight for you. We're believing that this place, that today, you're going to feel the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's going to guard your heart and your mind. And you come into a sanctuary. You get that at church. Number three, it provides family. Every say family. Pastor, I got a family. My family drive me crazy. Okay, I know you love. How many love your family? They drive you crazy all at the same time. Come on. So he's like, I love my family. Oh, they drive me crazy. Okay, so I understand that. But here's what Jesus said: those who are doing the will of the Father are my mothers and my brothers. He and it doesn't mean that we can't love, that we don't have physical family that we love, but how many know that our covenant family can be even closer than our physical family? You know what? I feel so close to people in this church. Why? Because we have the same Father. We're blood covenant brothers and sisters together by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So number three. Number four. Are you learning something? Number four. It calls us to good works. We had Friday, you know what? Women of Hope. You know what? If you didn't come to Women of Hope, you missed it. Amen. Here's the good news. You can come next month and it'll be a blessing. But Laura gave an awesome, did a great teaching on Friday. And one of the things she did, she asked the ladies, hey, we want the nursery to open tomorrow, but we can't because we've been doing so much work, but it's not ready to go because it's not clean. You know, she had three ladies who came yesterday and cleaned. They did a beautiful job. Now, how many know what happened? Where did they get that? They got that at the Women of Hope. See, can I tell you what? Here, let me tell you what you're not going to get at here at this church. You're not getting this church. Hey, here, this section, do me a favor. Don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Just come back next week and learn more. Don't do nothing then. Come back next week and learn some more. Don't do nothing. Just don't do nothing. Just learn. How come I'm not going to say that? And just so you know, I'm not going to say that to this section or that section or that section. Why? Because that's not God's will. God's will isn't that you just learn and learn and learn and learn. No, God's will is that the sponge gets filled up so that the sponge can empty itself to get filled up again. I know so many people that leave the church. And you know why they leave the church? They leave the church because they're not doing nothing. You could say amen to this. And let me tell you why they're going to leave the church. Because you're like a sponge. That's what your life is. And you get filled and filled and filled. But that sponge was designed to be squeezed out. And so what happens is after the word fills you and fills you and fills you and fills you and fills you, you'll sit there and say, man, I don't know. I don't know. Pastor George, I don't know what it is. You know what? But Pastor Drew just ain't, you know, he just... I'm not getting fed. And I'm not saying that I can't, you know what, have an off Sunday. But what I'm saying is that's not really it. Many times what's really going on is that sponge needs to be squeezed out so it can receive again. Does that make sense? And where are you gonna be encouraged? Hey, listen, this is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Here's why. Because Jesus said it like this. He said, if you lose your life, you're gonna gain it. But if you gain your life, if all you're doing is all me, 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 you know, me, 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 me. If that's all your life, you're gonna get to your end of life and it's gonna be like, Okay. Number five. Why I love my church. Number five. It gives an account for my soul. How many know the Bible says that pastors, one of our responsibilities, Pastor George and Pastor Lydia, is we are to give an account for their souls. And so it really puts us on our game to make sure that we're preaching good word sermons every Sunday and every Wednesday. And you're going to get that at this church. Number six, it provides a place to receive Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you can't bring your friends right there at the living table or, you know, at the picnic table or wherever you're at the school. I'm not saying you can't ask your friends to accept Jesus in their heart. You can. But at church, there's a consistency that at the end of the service we'll say, hey, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, say this prayer with me and let's ask Jesus in your heart. And that's one of the things that church provides. It's a beautiful thing. Number seven, it gives us perspective. Somebody say perspective. How many ever get tired? Raise your hand if you ever get tired. Okay. How many ever get tired of doing good things? See, come on, be honest. You're like, okay, here's what the Bible says. Here's perspective. So you're coming, you're like, I'm tired. I'm gonna take a sabbatical. You know what I mean? Can I tell you what? Can I teach you something? Every person, say every person. I'm talking about 100%. I've had people come, and they've been working in kids' ministry for 3 years, and they'll come and say, oh, Pastor, I'm burning out at kids' ministry. I just need to take a break. You know what I mean? And I recognize what's taking place. And here's what I'll say to them. I don't mind. You can take a break from kids' ministry, but you can't take a break from ministry. So if you want to not do kids ministry and do ushering, then fine. If you don't want to do ushering, you want to do parking lot ministry, fine. If you want to do, I don't care what it is, but this break stuff is a joke from the, you ought to be taking a break every week. Work 6 days and rest one, amen? You know what? It's called the Sabbath. You ought to be doing that every, and if you're taking the Sabbath, you know, if you're taking the Sabbath every week, you're never going to need to be, take a sabbatical. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you know what? Let me give you a perspective. What is that? That's perspective. You know what I mean? And can I tell you the percentage of people that have come to me and say, hey, I need you to take a break from ministry. Can I tell you, I just am going to be out 2 months. Can I tell you how what's the percentage of those people that have ever come back and jumped back into ministry? Guess what percentage it is? 0%. 0%. See? And what is that? That's perspective. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap. Here it is. You ready? If you, oh, I told it to you guys. If you faint not. If you don't get tired. See, Satan doesn't have control of you. You have control of you. Amen. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. Satan can't take control of you. You have control of you. Amen. What is that? Perspective. It's perspective. Okay. All right. Number eight, a place to come and experience corporate worship. Man, I tell you what, I love worshiping by myself in my car. You know what? And you're not around. But it's not as good as when I come Sunday and you are around. Because there's something about corporate worship that is a taste of heaven. And it's a beautiful thing. All right, number nine. Number nine. I love church because it's a place that we can be encouraged by other people's testimony. Yeah. You know what? That happens so often. That we come to church, and as the Holy Spirit directs, somebody have a testimony that's not mine, and we're encouraged by them. Does that make sense? Okay, number 10. Number 10. A place, this is where we're landing today. A place is what we're going to talk about today. A place to be encouraged by corporate preaching. Somebody say corporate preaching. Okay. So, Book of Acts, chapter 2, read it when you get home. They are told to stay in one place, that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They start speaking supernaturally in tongues. Jesus prophetically said what's going to happen. In the city, the Bible says, rushing, like many rushing waters. You ever gone to some place and there's water that's rushing like a what do they call waterfall or something? Have been recognized that's loud, and so that's what took place. And these people that are not in that room but far from that room, they heard it, and when they heard it, they started walking. It was like, what's going on? When they come, these people had left the room. And they're all speaking to them in languages that they were familiar with. And they're like, what's going on? Because these guys aren't from here. How are they able to speak? This is, watch this. It's supernatural. God is doing a supernatural work. And here's what they say. Here's what they say. These guys, you know, the Bible says they mocked them. How many know there's people that are going to mock you? It's crazy nowadays because if you are in a church where you believe in the supernatural, how many know this is a church that we believe in the supernatural? We don't believe that the gifts left with the apostles. We believe that, you know what, there should be signs and wonders following those who believe. Why do we believe that? Because that's what the Bible says, amen? So, but when you do that, you're going to be mocked. And there's mockers that are taking place. And so back then there was mockers. They're walking in the supernatural. They got there's no reason for it. But how many of the world will come up with a reason. The world will come up with a reason. You know how illogical it is? You know how illogical it is that you would be able to come out of nothing? That nothing produced everything. hear my sarcasm. And that is what is being professed at the universities as wisdom. The Bible says that they will speak foolishness and call it wisdom. They're speaking foolishness. And what's crazy is much of the church has backed off because we think that that's the science. No, this is absolutely illogical that everything would come from nothing. It's totally illogical. But be careful to what you hear. Bad company corrupts good morals. Faith comes through hearing. You know what unbelief comes through? Hearing. You know what believing in Darwinism comes from? Hearing. You know the model, you all seen it, because they cram that trash to your kids for years and years. We've seen it, and you get a science book. The science book ought to be called a book of fairy tales. And they have this guy, and this guy's like, a monkey kind of looking guy. And then he's a guy like a little less monkey looking, and then a little less. How many know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you where they came up with that? Listen, let me tell you, can I preach the truth to you? The truth is, you know where they came up with that? The same place that they came up with Dumbo. And the little dwarfs. How many know Sneezy is not real? Come on, help me preach this. The same place. It came from the imagination of someone who was not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where it came from. But you know what? It was put in all your kids' books, and that's what they saw. The thought that something comes from nothing. You know, everything you see. Listen, you can go to a major university and ask a science professor this, and they will look you straight in the face and think that they are logical and you're illogical. And you can ask them, hey, how big, you know, the Big Bang, how big was where did that come from? Oh, it came from a dot. Ooh, that's scientific, a dot. Ask them, how big was that dot? You know what? Number one, they won't be able to tell you how big that dot is. And number two, they'll tell you the dot was smaller than the end of a pin. And that dot exploded and flung everything that you know. Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Earth, the sun, the moon, everything. All the galaxies were created from that dot. And that, my friends, is what you're supposed to believe. And can you tell me, why did the dot explode? They have no answer. I've studied this out. I've read their research. When they can't come up with a solution, are y'all listening to me? When they can't come up with a solution, I could spend the whole afternoon teaching you on this. But when they can't come up with a solution, you know what they come up with? A theory that solves the solution. So let me tell you a problem. A problem is time. Everybody say time. As long as they theorize how long time is, if they went according to their theory, somebody say their theory, of evolution, according to their time, somebody say their timeline, they got a problem, because when they try to figure out how old Earth is, which is a whole different subject that I don't have time to get to, but let's just for the sake of argument, give them their timeline on how old Earth is. The problem is that amoeba that for some reason went from one cell to two cells. Oh, why did that happen? We don't know. And then went doubled again. And all this doubling, they have never, somebody say never, never been able to reproduce. All this is, you know what it is? It's unscientific. Because you know what the scientific law is? It is has to be observable, repeatable. So their problem is it doesn't fit their timeline. Like you are way too developed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're way too developed. What do I mean by that? If they take their timeline, you know what? You and me ought to be still like, according to their timeline. That's how we should be. So watch it. This is the truth. This is the truth. So how they fix it? Here's how they fix it. They fix it by saying, well, and how many know you could come up with anything if everything's a theory? And you know what proves their theory right? You do. See, they look at you and say, you're proof that my theory is right. Here's their theory. Are you ready? So evolution, we evolved at a certain pace. And then for some reason, at some point in time, we evolved. At some point in time, man evolved real quickly. And then we slowed down. And then we evolved the regular pace. And then for another reason, we went real quickly. Okay? And that's how you were developed as quickly as you can. Because it wasn't an even. Okay? Here, are you ready for this? I'm just asking, I'm asking these university professors this. What caused it to go real quickly? Are you ready for the answer? We don't know. Okay, so, and then when it slowed down, why did it slow down to the regular pace? We don't know. And then when it sped up again, why did it speed up again? Ready? We don't know. And then they're going to look at you in the eye and say, it's ridiculous for you to think that God made Adam and Eve. They think you. One guy wrote a book. He said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That's what the title of the book was. Oh, that's good. Because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Amen? But that's what you're to be, that's what you are to accept. And then what happens at the universities is everybody just, you know, eats their Grey Poupon, you know what, on their sandwiches and has skinny jeans and funky haircuts, and they're all just going to talk about how each one of them is smart. Oh, you're so smart. No, you're so smart. No, you're so smart. No, you're so smart. And God just says, you know what? And watch this. And the Christians are the ones. The Christians need to stand up and say, you know what? Let me tell you what. This is ridiculousness. But let me tell you what. Faith comes through hearing. And disbelief comes through hearing. You know how many kids start in universities and they're born again and love Jesus. And just by the time they're a sophomore, they've already been convinced that the fairy tales is to believe that Jesus existed and walked on water. How could that happen, Pastor? Here's how it happens. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can't listen. You know what? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, because what you're hearing, you know what, goes into your heart, and then you start believing it, and then all of a sudden you're convinced. And here you're convinced you're the smart person. Are you learning something? What am I doing? I'm preaching corporately to you. And what happens? All of a sudden, that which the world has, that's what in the book of Acts, Peter is standing up and he's starting to preach they're saying, oh, this is what it is. I said all that to get back to the sarcasm of the unbelievers. These guys are just drunk. That's what it is. And they're going to call you drunk. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you unscientific. They're going to say, you know what I mean? Why? Because they have wrapped themselves around themselves. So what happens is the one guy says, yo, no, they're drunk. Then the other goes, yeah, they are drunk. Yeah, they're drunk. And next thing you know what? You got eight people saying they're drunk. The crazy thing is when somebody on the other side says, you know what, has the crazy thing is when the person on the other side says, yeah, I guess we are drunk. No, that's crazy. They have us backing up so bad. And Peter, say corporate preaching. And Peter stands up to his feet and says, let me tell you what. See, that's what you're going to get at church. I don't know who's coming back next Sunday. I don't know who's coming back Wednesday. I don't know if you're a believer. I don't know if you're an unbeliever. I don't know what sin you're struggling with. Here's what I know. At this church, in English and in Spanish tonight at 6, the word is going to be, the corporate word is going to be preached. Why? Because what does it do? Because here's what it does. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a problem. Hey, some of you said that way too enthusiastically. Okay. Turn to, I want to show you something. Turn to, where am I? Turn to Romans chapter 6. No. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. Paul stands up and says, these are not drunk. Let me tell you what's going on. This is what was prophesied by the apostle Joel. And you know what? And God prophesied a long time ago and said that, you know what? The Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on sons and daughters. And that's what you're seeing. And it's going to continue to be poured out. Later on, he preached some more, preached about Jesus was the Son of the living God. And later on in his sermon, you know what? The people stopped him. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. And the Bible says they said, cried out, said, what must we do to be saved? The preaching of the Word of God does something that nothing else does. It is absolutely supernatural. Or the Word of God, I'll say it like that. The word of God is living and powerful. Somebody say powerful. Jesus said, the Bible says in the New Testament that in the beginning was the word. And the word was God and the word was with God. And the word dwelt among us. Who's he talking about there? Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the word. I can't explain it, but I know it's true. When the word of God is being preached, Jesus is being ministered to people. Jesus. It's not just powerful. He is living. How many know Jesus is living? He's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How many know we preach or we know this scripture, but how many know many of us don't even know what he's talking about? Well, we understand it's sharper. We might even memorize it, but we don't know. We know that it's effective, but let me teach it to you. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, what is this word piercing? Let me tell you who you are. You are a spirit. If you are born again, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are not your body. Look at your body and say, this isn't who I am. If it was, when you die, you would die. How many of when you die, you ain't dying? Come on. When you die, you're not dying. Your body got tired. So your body stops. But you ain't going to stop. You are just going to move somewhere. Dying is just a moving proposition. Now, where are you going to move to? I don't know. You're going to move to a place called heaven where God exists and you will be with God forever? Or are you going to move to a place called hell where God does not exist? What is hell? Hell is the absence of God. Pastor, if you're trying to grow a church, I don't think you're supposed to talk about hell no more. Okay. I didn't read that book. And my goal isn't, you know what, to not teach you about hell. My goal is to teach you everything that's in the Word of God. Does that make sense? But Pastor, people are going to think that God is sending. Listen, I'm going to say it. God ain't sending anybody to hell. Not one person is God sending to hell. Not one person. God provided Jesus Christ that everyone could go to heaven. Amen. God will not violate your right to throw his rescue raft back in his face and say, I don't want Jesus. I'm going to drown. God will let you drown. But he will because he doesn't want a robot. He wants a person that either is in love with him or not in love with him. Are you learning something? Okay. So it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to divide the soul and the spirit. We don't understand soul, spirit, heart. We just use these interchangeably. We don't understand the difference. Can I teach you? In your heart, say in my heart. In my heart. That's the center of who you are. There's two entities that exist. One is the spirit and one is the soul. If you're born again, your spirit is perfect. Identify with that perfect man. But your soul is still going through things. How many can relate to when I talk about Taco Bell and losing it over Taco Bell? How many can relate? Come on. How many can relate? Be honest. Thank you. One person, two, three. Come on. Get your hands up. Okay. I don't even go to Taco Bell. Okay, whatever it is. But you can relate. It'd be getting upset, getting angry, losing it, being out of control emotionally. Your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many ever let your emotions get away with you? How many ever done something in your will? You did it. You wanted to sin. What's going on? That's your soul, amen? Wow, one person raised their hand. Thank you. You did it, and you did it on purpose, and you got nobody to blame but you because you wanted to do it. What's that? That's your crazy soul. Okay. But here's the thing. Sometimes you come to church, and you got your halo on. You're like, oh, I'm in church. I sing worship songs. Okay. But then you hear the Word of God. And the Word of God, I don't have time to go into it. But you hear the Word of God. You hear something preached. You're going to have to listen to the first service. Here's what happens in the services. I just need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So why did the Holy Spirit lead me to go through all that stuff about the university? I don't know, but I got more notes. My notes have notes. I could preach for a long time today. Okay. But what I'm saying is I just got to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I listen to men, everybody, every man and every woman really, but please listen, go at home. We'll have it by tomorrow. Listen to the preaching of the first service because man, you really need to get this. But Jesus said, you've heard it said you shouldn't commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you, when you lust after a woman, you're committing adultery in your heart. Okay. Well, you're sitting in church like, low. How many know? You're like, low. You know what? I haven't been in a strip club for over 3 years. Low. You know what? And you think that. You think like, oh, I'm doing good. And don't get me wrong, you are doing good compared to 3 years ago. But if you still let someone, listen, I don't care how short the dress is. The length of the dress shouldn't dictate my lack of honor to my wife, my fidelity to my wife. The short blouse shouldn't change my fidelity to my wife. When Jesus said, you commit adultery in your heart, see, you hear that preaching and it cuts through your soul and your spirit and you see the difference. You see that your spirit is right and your soul is crazy. Here's what you see. You see the justifications for your junk exposed. What's that? That's the word of God cutting through all that junk, separating this out, saying, this is who you should be, and this is who you are. And I see you, and I'm going to call you out. He doesn't say that for your disadvantage. He says this for your advantage. Because what you're about to do, man, you said, Pastor, but I'm single. This sermon don't even apply to me. Can I tell you what? If you're single, get it together now. Amen. Amen. Because you're not going to be like, here's not what's going to happen. You're like, oh, checking out. And all of a sudden you're like, yes, I do. And all of a sudden you stop. All of a sudden you're like, that doesn't happen. You're going to be like, you're still going to be like that. So get it together now. But what I'm saying is the preaching, the proclamation of the word of God that you're going to get this Sunday, you're going to get next Sunday. You'll say, well, ladies, you say, oh, that don't even apply to me. Oh, trust me, just come next Sunday. Something's going to apply to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And even now I can preach this and the Holy Spirit can say, yeah, he's not talking about you, but you got area. How many know the Holy Spirit can preach through my preaching? I'm not even talking about your area, but you know, ladies, but you know your area. Right? How does that come? It comes through the preaching of the word of God and it cuts through all the junk and that, I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Yeah, I'll give you another shot. I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Okay. But listen, the truth, that, and let me tell you what, and that is such, listen, and that is such a benefit that I'm not going to forsake the gathering of the brethren. I'm going to be here Sunday. I'm going to be here Wednesday. I need to allow, and here's, let me get on the positive. You know what's happening to my soul? Not my spirit. My spirit's already perfect. You know what's happening to my soul? How many know your mind, your will, and your emotions can get cleaned up? The Bible says, you know what? You can train your flesh. How in the world do they do this? Go to SeaWorld. They got some penguin able to, you know, to, like riding a tricycle. How do they do that? Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. How do they do that? The Bible says, I could show it to you, it's in Hebrews. The Bible says, your flesh is able to be trained from right from wrong. How does that happen? It happens right here as you come and hear the corporate preaching of the Word of God. That's why when Peter got done, they're like, I mean, he wasn't even done. They cut him off. He wasn't even done with his sermon. And they interrupt him and say, what must we do? What's taking place? Man, their soul is getting convicted. That happens in church. That happens in church. Man, we got to fall in love with church again. So we got to fall in love with church again. How many were encouraged? Raise your hand if you were encouraged. Raise your other hand if you were encouraged and convicted. Okay. Father, you see the hands that are up. Keep your hands up. Father, you see our hands up. Jesus is knocking on our door. If you're far away from God, you need to get closer. You're close to God. Listen to this. You're close to God. You still need to get closer. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, come into my life. Come into my life more than you've ever been. I repent. Come on, say it. I repent for whatever it is. Say, you know what it is. No, you know what it is. But Father, help me to move forward today. thank you for the preaching that has convicted me, separated my spirit from my crazy soul. In Jesus' name I pray.